Hey, let's pray together. Father, we just come before you with this kind of desire in our heart that we would move from glory to glory. That we would be a people that are forever changing and never being the same and never staying in the same place, but moving on with you. And Father, that some of us in this place have been in some places much too long, and it's time to move. It's just time to move to the next place you have for us. And Lord, I just want to pray that as we talk about that this morning, as we open the Word and speak to this, that Lord, that there'd be this great desire in our lives not to remain where we are spiritually or emotionally. That God, that we would be a people so committed to you that where our eyes are on you, that we know what it means to follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus means that we don't stay in the same place. And some of us in here have stayed at the same place for way too long, and it's time to move. It's time to possess the things that God has called us to possess and to walk in. And so, God, I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God would come fall fresh upon this word and that it not return void but accomplish exactly what you desire in every life here and every person watching and every person maybe listening on a radio broadcast one day. I ask, God, in Jesus' name that you'd open our eyes that we might see you, our ears that we may hear you, so that, Lord, we'd see your face and hear your word today. And I ask, God, for these things in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. Hey, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 1 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8, and then we're going to be all over the place. And I'm just really, over the past week, I've been working on this redeemable message, which got all ready for Saturday or Friday, and was about to send it to our translators, and then woke up Saturday morning. I just felt like God would place this on my heart a week ago, a couple weeks ago, and I feel like I just really need to share it with you today. And so this is kind of a last-minute change-up, but I want you just to bear with me in that, okay? I want you to notice Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. This is 40 years after Egypt, when the children of Israel came out of the bondage that they had been for a few hundred years, and they came out of Egypt, and they journeyed for 3 months. And on the third month, or the first day of the third month, they end up at this mountain that you know is Mount Sinai, okay? Another name for it is Mount Horeb. And so they show up at this place. And he's reminding them 40 years before what took place when they rebelled in the wilderness. They rebelled to God, with God. And so this whole book, Deuteronomy, is this farewell speech and reminder of who God is and what God's called them to. And he's about to die, and Joshua's about to take over and bring them into the promised land 40 years late. 40 years late. This is what he says. Lord, our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, you've stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn, set your journey, and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland, in the Negev, and by the seacoast and the land of the Canaanites of Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I've placed before you the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to them and to their descendants. You know, have you ever woke up one day and you realized that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you ever done that? I mean, and you wake up and you're in a place that you don't really know how you got there, but you don't want to be there any longer. You don't want to be in that pit. You don't want to be in that sin stronghold. You don't want to be in that season of your life. You wake up and you know that you've been in this place way too long. Way too long. You know, I you've heard my story before. I'm going to give you three lines of it. I was 10 years old. when I started walking in a fear of dying young, I was 27 years old when God set me free. But when I was 26 years old, I began to ask God, what is this? I don't want to be in this place anymore. It's been over and over, especially the last 3 or 4 years of this thing being on me and waking up and asking and saying, this ought not be. I don't need to be in this place anymore. I've been here too long, God. I want to move from here. I want to move from here. And let me just say this. When God says to you, you've been in this place too long, it's time to move. It's time to move with God because God has something different. God has something better. God has something glorious for you and for me. And you know, when the children of Israel come out of Egypt and they end up at Mount Sinai, let me just tell you, there's a couple of things going on here. I mean, they come in on the first day of the third month, and they don't leave till 355 days later. They're at Mount Sinai. They're at Mount Horeb. They're there for almost an entire year. And when God is saying, you've been in this place too long, let's start moving. It's been a year and 3 months, roughly, from getting out of Egypt and out of bondage. Now, let me tell you a couple of things that go on during that year. There's some good things that happen, okay? Number one, it's where God's word, where God's law and instruction is gathered. On two occasions, Moses will go up on the mount and receive the Ten Commandments. The first time he comes down and they're in rebellion, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And he goes back up and he gets the law. Well, then for the next year, he's establishing the law. He's organizing. He is instructing. And it's also, you know, in Exodus 32:1, we find that it is a place of grumbling. It is a place of rebellion. It becomes a place of idol worship, of betrayal and immorality. Keep your place here for just a moment and go to Exodus chapter 32 and notice the story. So Moses is up on this mountain. He's getting the law. And in the meantime, the children of Israel are waiting on him. They're waiting on him to come down. And he's been there. I'm telling you, he's been there for 40 days. And they become restless. And I want you to know what it says. Verse 32, chapter 32, verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And then all the people tore off their gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took this from their hand and he fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to Yahweh. And so the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat, drink, and they rose up to play. And when this says rose up to play, that's not a good thing. They're not playing flag football. They're not playing softball or volleyball. They're doing something immoral. And they start this party, and they start this worship of this molten calf, and they would have the audacity to say, this is Yahweh, your God. Impatient, grumbling, idol worship, betrayal and immorality. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt, they've corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf. They've worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, they're obstinate people. Now let me alone, that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them, and I will make you a great nation. Wow. When you look at this passage of scripture and you look at what's going on here, these folks have seen the mighty works of God. They've been in slavery for hundreds of years. It's been prophesied that they'd go out of Egypt and they'd come to the land that God swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that they'd have to possess. That one day they'd have their land. They would spread out into it. And what's happening is, and they're at this place, this mount, and Moses is doing something very positive and something very good for them. God is giving them a law, giving them a way to walk and a way to live. Not like the other people of the world that they're going into the land they're going into. No, it's different. It's distinct. And he's getting the law, but they become impatient. 40 days is just too long. Well, for some of us, 40 minutes is just too long. Right? Get in trouble, pray the prayer, or whatever prayer we pray, and we're waiting. God come, God come, God come. But sometimes God doesn't come in 40 minutes. Sometimes he comes in 40 seconds, praise God. But sometimes he doesn't come for 40 minutes. Sometimes he doesn't come for 40 hours. Sometimes he doesn't come for 40 days. Listen, sometimes he doesn't come for 40 months to answer that prayer. But we wait, and we wait patiently. And they don't do that. They decide they need another God. They need somebody that's going to provide their needs. They need to decide that this guy, Moses, who did lead us out. I mean, we saw these great works. We don't know what's come of him. So we need somebody else that we can bow down to and follow. We need another God. Let me tell you this. You don't need another God. A lot of us in this place have spent our lives following after other gods. And it's brought us nothing. It's brought us nothing. But this is what's happening. This is what's happening 3 months from Egypt. And God is saying to Moses, listen, let me alone. I'm going to kill all these people and I'm going to start a new line and you're the one. And if you'll read on, and we won't do that, Moses says, because Moses is, according to scripture, most humble man that ever lived, would say, oh God, you can't do this. Can you imagine? Oh God, you can't do this. I'm appealing to you. Yes, these people are obstinate. Yes, these people can be rebellious in a heartbeat. Yes, they can follow you one moment and see the great work of God, but then forget you in the next moment and be gone to another place in a moment. But God, you made promises. And the promise was to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And these are your people. These are the people you promised to. Do not do this thing. And the Bible says, God changed his mind. Wow. I don't understand it. I don't understand that word, but I want to just tell you, open the word and you'll see God changed his mind. At the appeal of Moses, he changes his mind. And God says, okay, well, you're just going to have to come back up, because when you came down, you threw those 10 commandments down. And you got to come on back up and get this word. So he goes back up second time, gets the word, and comes back down the mountain. And then what happens is Moses begins to instruct them. God begins to place organization, instruction, preparation. He begins to assign judges and people to lead their people and to judge their people. And he begins this orderly movement among his people about when they leave this place, they'll be ready to inhabit the land that God promised and swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob forever. And so that's what happens. And if you'd read from Exodus 33 to Numbers 13, that's what's happening. It's a whole year of instruction, a whole year of just getting things ready to get into the promised land to take possession of it. And when they're ready, God says, you've stayed long enough at this place. It's time to move. You know, I want to just really make certain you understand that what I'm talking about here is indeed, the context is indeed a geographic place. God did not intend for them to stay at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb the rest of their lives. He had a land for them flowing with milk and honey, a place where they could thrive, a place that they'd have the abundant life, a place that they would follow this word and follow this law, they would prosper and be fruitful for the rest of their lives and their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives and folks that would come from them. This was God's intention. This was God's purpose from the very beginning. And so when he says this, he says, now it's time to go. You've been in this place too long. Now, you know, I want to say this. There's times that in this year that they're rough. They're tough. They are. But when God says, you've been here too long, it's time for you to move. And although we're talking about something geographically here, I think there's many times in our lives that we wake up and we find ourselves in the right geographic place, but we're in the wrong mindset. We have the wrong attitude. We're walking the wrong way. And that's the place that God is saying, the place that I'm challenging you today, that if you're at a place that you've been too long, that you don't belong in that place, whether it's spiritually or whether it's emotionally, it's time to move. It's time to possess the places and the things that God's called us to possess. That's what he says. I mean, you go back to Deuteronomy, or, you know, you hopefully got your place marked. You go back and you say, and he says, hey, it's time to move. You've stayed in this place long enough. Long enough. Maybe when you look at your life and you look at a life of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, I'm just going to tell you, a few moments is long enough in that place. Long enough in poor attitudes. Long enough in pride, critical spirit. Long enough in your loneliness. Long enough in your depression. Long enough in your addiction. Long enough in these anxieties and worries. Long enough in this dead-end career. Long enough in this financial state. Long enough in this apathy, lethargy, laziness, idleness. Long enough in this self-pity, depression, grief, mourning, and sin. Listen, long enough in that guilt and shame that God dealt with long ago. Long enough. You've been in this place long enough. What's the place that you've been in long enough? And it's time for a change. It's time for a movement. It's a time for God to say, hey, you don't have to be in that pit any longer. You don't have to be in that place anymore. You don't have to be in that spiritual contentment where you're just dying spiritually. You're in this place that God doesn't want you to be. The spiritual condition, the standstill of the Christian life that so many people walk in. They come to Christ, they're excited, and all of a sudden something happens, and it's a standstill. It's like the brakes are put on, and God is saying, I want to move you to these next places, but what happens is you don't do it. And you stay in that place. You know, you hear me say this. We had an anointing this morning, and the guy came in, young guy, young man, very active in our church, struggling physically. And when he sat down, I said, is there anything going on? He said, you know, I knew you were going to ask that. And I have had some things going on in my family that every time you ask the question, what's the last thing God asked you to do that you haven't done? He said, this thing would just come up and just, it would just come up, and I would know that I'm supposed to deal with this. And I knew that when I sat down for this anointing that you were going to ask me, or somebody was going to ask me what was going on spiritually. And so this week I went and I made that right. I made that right. Listen, in that relationship or in that thing that he was dealing with, he decided that it was too long. I've stayed in that place long enough. I got to get this right. I've got to make the move. I've got to be the one to make the move, to make what's wrong in my life and in my heart right. And it's much too long. I've stayed there long enough. And the question is what is the place that you've stayed long enough in that God is wanting to move you out of? Maybe there's just this thought in your life that I'm just not fruitful in ministry. I God's gifted me, but I'm not using the gift. Well, listen, if God's gifted you and you're not using your gifts and your talents, you've stayed in that place long enough. It's time to move. If there's a place, a thing that God has asked you to do that you've not done, listen, you've been in that place long enough. Get up and go. That's what he says. That's, matter of fact, that's what he'll say. This, you've been in this place long enough. What I want you to do is, notice what he says. He says, turn and set your journey and go to the place that I want you to be in this life. Because you've been here long enough. Turn, set your journey, go to the place that God wants you to be. Reposition yourself, face this new direction toward the blessing, not the curse, toward life, not death. You know, I just think here you've been out of Egypt for 3 months, and then God provides for you, and then you're there for another year while God's preparing you, and he says, listen, it's time. And you know, I think there probably was a kind of an excitement about that, because when God says, you've been here long enough, wait for something great to happen, because it's about to happen if you'll let it, if you'll be obedient. So he says, you've been here long enough. Take your journey, make your journey, get on this journey. We've got an 11-day journey to the gateway of the promised land. 11 days journey from the promised land. Between walking 10 to 20 miles a day for 11 days, that's where your promised land is. Get up and go, which is the second thing. And the third thing is, you're going to go possess what God has promised for all these years. You're going to get to go walk this land and possess it. You're going to get to go in this land and take possession of houses you did not build, of vineyards you did not grow, of gardens you did not grow, of things that are just already established. They're yours. Get up and go. So that's what they do. They get up and they go. They take the 11-day journey, and they get to the Jordan. And you'll see this here. You'll see this in Deuteronomy. And he'll get there, and then they'll say, hey, Moses, let us send out folks to go spy out the land. Moses said, oh, you asked me to do that, and I did that. And so we set apart 12, one from each tribe, to go out and to spy out the land. You know, I'm just going to say this right now. It's a word. Because what happens is, God is saying, this is your land. This is what I have for you. I've got a place where there's no more guilt and shame. I have a place for you where there's no more anger, where there's no more trauma or traumatic things in your life from the past. I've got a place, not of bondage, but of freedom for you. I've got a place for you, even though you may be free from things, but you've not moved on to the next things that I have for you. You've not moved on in Christian growth. You've not gone on in Christian maturity. You've stayed right where you are, and I've got a place for you. I have a place for you, but you've got to get up and go to it, and you've got to possess it. You've got to take hold of it. And what happens is they're just going to miss it. They're just going to miss it. And I just wanted to say this word before, to go to Numbers chapter 13, 25. Numbers 13, 25. Just a few pages back. And I want you to see how they miss God. How they miss it. You've been too long in this place. Walk 11 days. Get to this place and then move on. Move on. You know, when the Bible says to possess something, it means that you're going to seize it. You're going to grab onto it. You're going to occupy and to take it for your own. It means to inherit, to utterly succeed in accomplishing the things that God's called you to accomplish. And that's where they're headed. That's where they're headed. I want to ask you the question, so that when we come to the end of this message in about 20 minutes or so, what is it that you have not taken possession of that today you can begin doing that? What is it and where is it in your heart, in your life, that you know you've been in this place too long? What about in your marriage? What about in your family? What about in your service? What about in your job? What about where are you that you have come to a standstill, and God doesn't want you standing still? He wants you moving to the next glory. He's wanting to move you to the next season of maturity, the next season of service, the next season of freedom. And they send the spies out. Now let me just say this also. The spies are going to come back and they're going to give a different word. And I'm going to tell you, you must believe what God says. Because when you hear God's word and you hear man's word about God's word that doesn't line up with God's word, and you choose man's word over God's word, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And that's what happens here. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they thus told them and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And look at its fruit." God is right. This is a grand land. This is a land of abundance. This is a land of fruitfulness. This is a land of joy and peace. Look at its fruit. God is right. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. But nevertheless, verse 28, the people who live in the land, they're strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites all are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. And you know what's happening here? There's a stir going on. Because Amalek and the Hittites and the Canaanites are an evil people. They're evil. They're hard. They're harsh. They do horrible things to their captives. They do horrible things. And they've known this. And they've understood this. And all of a sudden, they're naming these names. They're naming these giants in the land. They're naming these obstacles in the land. And there's a stir happening. Because Caleb, one of the two spies that's going to stand up and go with God and not with man. So Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against these people. They're too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it of men are great size." We saw the Nephilim. We saw the sons of Anak who are part of the Nephilim. Those are the giants. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. When God gives his word and man comes along and tells you what that word says, and it doesn't agree with what God says, you need to flee from the word of man. Because I'm going to tell you this. There's some of you in this room right here, and maybe you're watching, that God has given you great dreams and has given you great visions for your life and for your ministry and for the things that God has put in your heart. All for someone else to come along and say, "It don't mean that. You're going to have to live in fear the rest of your life. You're going to have to struggle with this sin the rest of your life." Well, let me tell you, that's not God's word. That's man's word. God says, "I've come to give you this abundant life, this thriving life." And when you get a doctrine that'll come along and say, nah, not necessarily. Maybe a little close, but not necessarily. I'm going to tell you, that is a doctrine, that is a word that will not conform you into the image of Jesus. It doesn't agree with the sound words of Jesus, nor a doctrine that will conform you to godliness. Let me tell you, that's why we have to be in our word. That's why we got to believe that what God says about our Christian life, that we get to move on, that we get to be pulled out of the pit and put on the rock, that we don't have to go to the pit again, that we don't have to go to this stuff. Because look, when I was in the pit, that was long enough. I was there long enough, and so were you. And you want to go back to that? You want to hear a God that says you can be free from that, but you know what? You can't really until you come to heaven. Until you come to heaven. Watch out that you're not giving bad reports to people about what God said to them. Watch out. Because I want to say this to you. You've been given words from God. You've been given dreams in your heart and your spirit only for some one's big foot in their mouth to come and crush that word in your life. And I want to be a pastor that says you can go for this. I want to be a pastor that says it is a certainty. I mean, you've got a Caleb and you've got a Joshua here that's going to say, let's go do this. God will give us to this. God says it's ours. Let's take possession of it. Let's take possession of the fruit of the Spirit. Let's take possession of love. Let's take possession of joy and peace. Let's take possession of goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Let's take possession of holiness. Let's take possession of Christ's likeness. Let's get the grumbling spirit out and just look for what's great in life and what's great in people's life. Because any day you're grumbling is a day that you're just miserable. And when you spend a day grumbling, or 2 days, or 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, you've stayed in that place too long. Too long. It's time to get up and go to a different place. And I want to tell you, it's just a short hip, skip, hop. Yeah, that's it. Write that down. Get it right next time. A hop, skip, and a jump. Boom, boom, boom. We're there. And they're there. But they got this bad report going. And there's 12 men who went in, and they all saw the same thing. I'm going to tell you, they all saw the same thing. They all experienced the same thing. And 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. We can't be happy in that land. We can't be joyful in that land. We can't find what God really wants. Matter of fact, we will be defeated in that place. And I want to tell you, your life is not about a place. I learned that when I was 27 years old, right in this place, when there was just 25 of us. It's not about the physical place. It's about the place where God wants you, in your spirit and in your soul and in your life, that makes the place where you are geographically a wonderful place. When God says something and man comes along and says something different about what God says is the truth, run from the words of man. Because today can be your day right now to get rid of that anger, to get rid of that fear, to get rid of that worry, to move from that place to this great, great lifestyle that we've been talking about called the redemptive life by the redeeming love of our great God. You can possess this land by the power of the Spirit of God. You can seize it by simply just saying yes, but they're saying no. No. We can't do this. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all that night, and the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, oh, that we would have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they got together and they had a meeting. And they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and let's return to Egypt. Let's go back to slavery. Let's go back to the pit of pits. Let's go back to that place where we were, where it was just so hard and so difficult. At least we had food and not this manna. Let's go back to Egypt. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to go back to Egypt? There's nothing in Egypt. There's nothing in Egypt for you if you're in Christ. It's just slavery. It's just lostness. It's just darkness. It's just working your fingers to the bone. I mean, it's just miserable spiritually in Egypt. That's why God saved you. That's why God pulled you out of the pit. He pulled you out of Egypt, not to stay in Egypt. And guess what? Not even to stay in this wilderness. Not to stay in this place where you're just not moving on with God, that you're not moving to the next place. Then Moses and Aaron, verse 5, fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation. And that 20 minutes went by fast. Sorry. Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and those who had spied out the land tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't fear them." But all the congregation said, "Stone them with stones." And then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. And you know what God says? You're not going back to Egypt, but most of you today will never leave this wilderness. You just gave a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, that we might stay in this wilderness. And they stay there. They stay there year after year after year after year for 40 years. And guess what? Their children and their children's children, and maybe even some of their children's children, are right here at this same place 40 years later, because the last one is about to die, and that's Moses. They all died, 20 years and above, 20-something. They all died. None of them got to go in, but Joshua and Caleb and their families. Why? Because they believed the promise of God. Life is more than wilderness. Life is so much better in Christ than in Egypt. And God has come to pull us out of Egypt and say, "Listen, you're going to be in the wilderness, but it's just 11 days. You got to get to the promised land. They got to get some things straight. You got to get some things right. And then guess what? As you cross over, what do you begin to do? You begin to seize it. You begin to occupy it. You begin to move with God, and God gives you what he's promised, this abundant, thriving life in Jesus. But don't miss it. Because you can miss it. Do you know there's three ways they missed it? They missed it because they walked in unbelief. They did not believe the promises of God. And when you don't believe the promises of God, you will become disobedient. You just will. You'll become disobedient to God's word. And so that's how they missed it. Unbelief and disobedience. In your notes, it's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 through 4 through 1. And it gives you the whole story. You get that on the screen, yeah. Unbelief and disobedience. And I just want to say this again. You've got to believe what God says. If God says he's going to set you free, he's going to set you free. If God says he's going to conform you from glory to glory, like we sang, he's going to conform you in glory to glory. If he says that he's going to remove your shame and remove your guilt and remove all that stuff, God's going to do that. God is doing that right now. Matter of fact, he already finished it because of the blood of Jesus. It's me seizing it. By what? Well, I'm just going to say, flip it around, by believing the promise of God. No, yeah, go back. No. Unbelief, you believe, you trust, and you just obey by the power of God's Spirit. And you'll miss it every time, though, if you choose to not believe. And you've heard me say this before, and I say it again today. My prayer is that you Well, wake up if you need to wake up and realize that you're in a place you shouldn't be. And you've been there long enough. And you're hearing God say, go to this new place. Take possession of it. You've got to believe it. And you've got to step into the Jordan. And you got to go. And go to that place. Another way that you miss God is this fear. You fear. You walk in fear. You walk in worry. You walk in anxiety. Does God really mean what he says he means? If I make this commitment to God, will he send me to China with the Bentleys? I'm afraid of that. I want to go to China. Well, that's how many times I've heard that. Are you afraid that God's going to ask you to do something that you don't think you can do? Well, let me just tell you, that's what life is. It's finding the strength of God to do what we can't do on our own. And you got to get rid of the fear, because I'm going to tell you, fear will do something. Fear will cause you not to press on to victory. It'll cause you to forget God instead of remembering God. Fear will cause you to fail the test of life. Fear will fail to press you on to greater things with God. Fear will mean you won't use your gifts for the glory of God. And I'm just going to tell you, you walk in fear, you'll fail to love completely. Because I'm going to tell you, there's some people that God's asking you to love who've done some things. And if you're afraid of that, then guess what? You'll miss out on being Christ-like by walking in forgiveness and love to that person. Fear to make it right, to do what you know is right, and you're not doing it, will cause you to stagnate in your Christian life and cause you to stay right where you are. And right where you are, it's too long to be in that place, because we're all moving on toward it. Third, they missed it because of unbelief and disobedience, of fear. So we've got to trust God. The wrong kind of contentment. I just want to stay right here and be happy right here the rest of my life. No, you got to move on with them. You've got to move on. Move on with him. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Where have you been that God would say, you've been here too long? We've been here too long. It's time to get up. It's time to move with God. It's time to move with him. It's time to get to that next place. Maybe you look back in your life and you thought you were headed in the right direction, and maybe you were, but it just didn't work out the way you thought that God said it was going to work out. So you got mad at God. And I'm going to tell you, an hour mad at God is not a place that you want to be. It's too long to be in that place. Maybe you got mad at a pastor. Maybe you got mad at a deacon. Maybe you got mad at your parents. I don't know. But you stayed too long. What's the place that you've stayed too long at? It's time to set your face to the new and the glorious. It's time to set your face to the promised land of your life, to see God fulfill some things in your life. And I don't care if you're 20, if you're 50, or if you're 90. It's not too late to get to the place that God wants you to be in this life. And so I pray for you today. I want to pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd birth within us a faith to believe that we've stayed too long in the place that we find ourselves today. And I'm setting my face with this faith. So, Lord, I pray for a faith to believe that we can possess whatever you've asked us to possess. To possess patience, to possess unity and oneness in your life and in your marriage, to possess this faith and confidence that, just as Jordan said, in the midst of the failure, maybe the failure of your life, maybe the failure of your son, your daughter, the failure of your mom or your dad, that God can come and make much of the dust, because he makes much of us. So God, I pray you'd birth within us a faith and then give us the courage to do what we need to do first. And let us run to take possession of this promised life of abundance, fruitfulness, and glory of God. Oh God, would you do that today? Would you do it? I'm going to ask you just to remain quiet for just a moment. And I want you to ask the question, God, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying to us today? What are you saying to us, the church, today? Where are the places emotionally, spiritually, that we've been too long? And it's time to move. For a couple of us in this room, it may be geographic. Maybe God's asking you to move to a different place. But in a crowd this big, I don't think that speaks to most of us. Maybe just to a couple. Where are you? Have you been there too long? It's time to move. And God will give you the power by the Spirit of the living God to move. You just take the first step toward him, and you will follow him to the next place of glory, the next place of maturity, the next place of victory, the next place of God's glory. God, come plant this seed. Come water this seed. Come fertilize this seed. I pray for first fruits of this seed in every single one of us today. Where have we been too long? Where have we stayed too long? It is time, Lord. May we move. May we move today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.